exposing the ongoing battle for control of the next generation and their minds. The new documentary revealing the battle plan being used to control the future. We're going to be discussing the war on children coming up. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Educate. I'm Liz Collin. Also ahead, senior editor and regular contributor for the New American Magazine, Rebecca Terrell, is my guest this week. She's talking about that new documentary and the life and legacy of the John Birch Society's president emeritus and former publisher of The New American, that is Jack McManus, who just passed away here in March. So we're going to have a special Educate tribute to that amazing man coming up. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're going to get to those stories more in a moment. But first, if you are new to Educate, we want to welcome you to the show. We're here each and every week to take a deep dive into education. We're also showing you ways to get involved, to show up, to stand up, and to speak up on behalf of your kids, our kids. The central issues of education, providing criticism and positive solutions to problems each and every week. My name is Liz Collin. I'll be your host here for the next hour. I am a Minnesota-based journalist with Alpha News, a wife, a mom, happy to be with you as we navigate this crazy world of education together. I'm easy to find. You can follow me at Liz Collin, LizCollin on X. I'm also on Facebook, Liz Collin News. You can look me up there, but happy to be with you as we navigate this complicated world. But I guess it doesn't really have to be so complicated. We are here to help. With that, the documentary is called The War on Children. It is a film from Robbie and Landon Starbuck. I'm going to set this segment up by playing a clip from the trailer. So let's listen.
Are they intentionally sexualizing our children and stealing their innocence?
I think that's right.
TikTok specifically is designed to target young people. That's who their audience is.
Have children died because of social media?
Absolutely.
Have they been trafficked off of social media?
100%.
Have they been sexually exploited off of social media?
Ongoing. Yes.
I'm scrolling on TikTok. I see little kids with TikTok. What are they looking at?
This is what you don't want kids to see. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And again, this is depicting children. This is supposed to be kids.
Well, honestly, I didn't even know that transition from female to male was an option until I was on social media and began being exposed to those type of communities.
You've never seen a 18-month-old masturbating?
No, I haven't. Have you seen any sexually explicit drag shows marketed as all ages for kids that you would denounce or think that are a problem and that you want to distance yourself from?
No.
You know this is wrong.
So,
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to end the interview.
Again, that was a clip from the trailer of The War on Children, a new documentary that's been out just about 6 weeks or so at this point. And at the very end, that was a drag queen, by the way, to set the scene for our radio listeners here. At the end of that interview, kind of a gotcha moment in The War on Children. But I think it's really revealing just hearing the conversations, let alone in this trailer, what this documentary has in store for folks who watch it. So The War on Children exposes the ongoing battle for control of the next generation, reading from the description, and their minds. This film reveals the battle plan being used to control the future. To win this war, you have to understand the tactics of your enemy. Clearly a spiritual battle that we are in as these narratives play out. Our guest this week, Rebecca Terrell, is going to join me in a bit here to talk about the importance of this documentary. But you have Riley Gaines in the documentary. You have the founder of Libs of TikTok. Some big names in here. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, he is also featured. And I wanted to have you listen in to just a bit more of the interviews here, some of those big names speaking out on the war on children.
Do you think the big tech companies at this point are essentially aiding and abetting human traffickers and people who are working to exploit children?
Absolutely.
If you don't want to hear it in a school board meeting, why should children be able to check it out of the school system?
There is misinformation presented that somehow that we're doing surgery on minors or even children, and that simply is not true.
How old were you when they gave you a double mastectomy?
It was a month after my 13th birthday.
Ultimately, we're going to talk about, are they going to give, the counselor's going to give them medication there at school without their parents' permission? I mean, I think we're leading towards an absurd and horrific time.
Well, first of all, we weren't forewarned we would be sharing a locker. We had no idea. I turn around, a 6'4", 22-year-old man, fully intact with an exposing male genitalia.
This ideology is killing our kid.
Do you think more people need to speak up to protect kids like your daughter?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think from heaven, she can see how hard you fought for her.
Do you feel like this is a war on children?
I know it's a war on children. But like they said, we're coming for your kids.
Yeah.
And they have.
Just another clip there from The War on Children, this new documentary that I do encourage everyone to see. We're going to be talking about it today with Rebecca Terrell here coming up in our next segment. A bit about Robbie Starbuck, by the way. I know I'm throwing his name around as if everybody knows who he is, and most do, but his own story is fascinating if you don't know. Certainly an appreciation he has for being an American. His Cuban family fled communism, and because of that, he never let the opportunity America offers slip through his fingers, his website says. Robbie first set his sights on the film and music business. That was kind of how he got his start, became a big name. Despite having very little money, with no family connections in that industry, he overcame, built one of the most successful production companies in the entertainment business, while never taking a business loan or partner along the way. Robbie went on to direct Oscar-winning actors and some of the biggest stars in the history of music. And a little bit more about him. Sensing the danger of communism rising in America, his website goes on to say, Robbie became vocally political in 2015, if you remember this, by endorsing President Donald Trump. He knew this would come with consequences in Hollywood, certainly did, but he went ahead and he did it anyway. He was blacklisted as a result, if you remember a bit of his story. But Robbie Starbuck did not let that deter him. He built a platform of loyal followers who helped him rise to become a major influence in American politics. And as a result, his thoughts and ideas, they've been amplified by world leaders like Elon Musk and President Donald Trump. Right now, he hosts the Robbie Starbuck Show to lead on the issues at the forefront of our rapidly changing world. And I think the war on children falls right in line with his new mission, kind of speaking up and obviously took some criticism for it, but went ahead and plowed through nonetheless and continues to educate many of us in the process. And it seems just by taking a look online, The War on Children has received really positive reviews. I was going to read at least one of them here talking about how everyone needs to watch this. This says, I highly recommend this movie to everyone, regardless of what political party, because that's what's sad. Why has this become political? That's what seems to be crazy about all of this. Again, it says, regardless of what political party you lean toward, everyone needs to be a warrior for the safety, health, and protection of children. They are the future of our world and the USA. This movie provided so much insight into a topic that I wanted to understand more. As a parent of a young girl, I want to be knowledgeable and everything my daughter may face in the future, and I want to be prepared to educate her. The Starbuck family is absolutely amazing for producing this content and working hard to release it. If you read more about their story, this wasn't exactly easy to go ahead and put this all together. This commenter says, I will be sharing this with other families and friends in hopes that one day this will be available on all streaming platforms. Children need to be protected and values need to be realigned. God bless everyone. So I would say that's a pretty rave review. So go ahead and pass on The War on Children to everyone, you know. We're going to have more on the film coming up, but first, self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? Is it even relevant? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, The New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. a great stocking stuffer. Available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Have you ever heard someone say, the system's broken? Sure you have. Well, it's not true. America's founders created a brilliant governing system that prevents us from having kings, queens, dictators, and even czars. We the people can replace every elected official in a span of 6 years if we so choose. Here at the John Birch Society, we believe the only way to liberty, prosperity, and national sovereignty is not only understand what's in our founding documents, but demand that every elected official adheres to them. The reason we have a ballooning, reckless, and corrupt government is because elected officials aren't following the Constitution. The John Birch Society is principled, coordinated, effective activism. We believe the Constitution is the solution. Join JBS and change America. Visit JBS.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1 to get involved. That's JBS.org.
Welcome back to Educate. A senior editor and regular contributor for the New American Magazine, Rebecca Terrell is my guest this week. I want to thank you again for being on Educate, Rebecca. Thanks for being on. How are you?
I am doing great, Liz. Thank you so much. It's great to be back on with you.
Before we get too far into the conversation, I did want to acknowledge the passing of John Birch Society's president, emeritus, and former publisher of The New American. Tell us, though, about the life and legacy of Jack McManus. I know you had a close personal relationship with him, and obviously my sympathy to you on his passing. What an incredible life.
What a very incredible life. And thank you so much. That is so kind of you. Yes, he was, he touched everyone's lives who he met. I'm seeing all of the memorials pouring in and the condolences to the family. Everyone, the words that keep getting repeated are huge influence and hero. And everyone, loved that distinctive Brooklyn Bostonian brogue he had, and that beautiful voice that he could tell you devastating things, and still you had a sense of hope just from hearing that beautiful voice of his. So yes, this leaves a huge hole and in a lot of people's lives. But the nice thing is we do have so much that he wrote. His bibliography, his filmography is too massive. I'm trying to compile it right now because I'm composing a tribute for the New American Magazine about him. There's just not enough room. We could dedicate the whole issue to him and still not cover everything. And we have that legacy of his to help us continue the work he was doing to try to rescue our country from the elite who want to undermine our national sovereignty and establish a one world government. It's not conspiracy theory when it's conspiracy fact, like he used to say.
Yeah, and I think he's been so open with his story. Again, speaking of Jack McManus and his passing, he was a doubter. He's very honest about the John Birch Society to start with, and he talks about how he goes to this meeting thinking, gosh, these people all have to be crazy, and then he's like, they're not actually crazy. But I think what's amazing about his story is that he's willing to actually engage in this conversation. And it sounds like he kind of just had this light bulb moment, if you will, sort of devouring a lot of the books and such that the John Birch Society had put out back then.
He did. He read I Saw Poland Betrayed, which was written by the U.S. ambassador to Poland at the time, who saw our country hand that country over to the communists. He read things like While You Slept, which was written by John Flynn, Shanghai Conspiracy, all of these things. And he admired the John Birch Society for republishing these books that had gone out of print and were telling the real story. The story, many stories that Joe McCarthy tried to tell. And of course, he's been maligned. He's maligned to this day with a term that's been added to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, McCarthyism, which stands for anybody who's some crazy nut conspiracy theorist. But we do know that was a CIA coined gaslighting term that was supposed to be used to undermine people who were telling the truth. So, and Jack McManus has been called pretty much every name in the book, but you have to pay attention to who's calling him that, who's pointing the finger, and by the reputation of those people, that increases Jack McManus's reputation even more.
And you said, I think remarkably, he was still working. You were in contact with him, 89 years old, was still hard at it and believed in this mission.
He had just celebrated his 89th birthday on January 24th. He was writing a book, and the working title was A Conspiracy So Monstrous. So he never stopped. He never stayed. In fact, he'd called me 2 days before he went into the hospital just to check up about my proofreading of that book. And then I never got to talk to him again because he had heart failure and kidney failure, and he died a few days later. And he had been on a decline health-wise. He lost his wife last May, and they'd been married for 65 years, and you can't just pick up and keep going on the next day. You know, he'd missed her greatly. He had had some health problems and had to go into an assisted living. So, you know, moving from his home was not a great thing either. The thing about Jack McManus was he always bore all of these life's trials with grace and with a sense of humor. You know, he always had a smile to give you. He had a smile in his voice. And I just, the example that he set, it's something to live up to, you know, for the rest of my life.
Well, that says a lot right there. Switching gears a bit, in the first segment of the show, again, my conversation this week with Rebecca Terrell, senior editor and regular contributor for the New American Magazine. But we were discussing a bit of the trailer for this new documentary, I should say, for anyone who hasn't heard of it, The War on Children. We listened to a bit of the trailer. Again, this is a film from Robbie and Landon Starbuck. The description goes on to say, the war on children exposes the ongoing battle for control of the next generation and their minds. This film reveals the battle plan being used to control the future. To win this war, you have to understand the tactics of your enemy. I know the documentary has been out for about a month at this point, a little longer. What are your thoughts, though, Rebecca, about just how important this issue is and sort of how the documentary breaks this all down?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to be interviewing Landon Starbuck later this month, and I'm eager to talk with her because the documentary is just devastating. It is absolutely necessary. It's one of those things that's it's horrific to watch, but it is absolutely essential for every true blue American to watch. To know what is going on. People do not know what's going on in the schools right now. If you think your child is immune, even in parochial and religious schools, they are not. This is real. It's going on right now. Don't close your eyes. I would caution everyone, it's a 2-hour and 19-minute documentary, which is extremely long. You need to build an intermission in for yourself because the subject matter is so grotesque. And besides just sitting for one, taking it all in one sitting is a lot. You will feel horrible. You will, if you don't want to do something about it at the end of the documentary, I would just say that you probably just don't have a soul. But, you know, I also want to call attention to another documentary that came out in 2021. Mark and Amber Archer produced it. It's called The Mind Polluters. And it's not quite as long, but it really dives into something that Robbie and Landon just barely, well, they touch on it, but their documentary is of such great breadth. They are showing how this war on our children is coming, not just from social media, not just in the schools, but also in politics and in the movies and in healthcare. And all of these things are coming together to converge and war on our children. And really the focus, you can see what these enemies of our children are trying to basically make little Manchurian candidates out of each one of them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just pause you right there because we do have to take a quick break, but I want to talk more with Rebecca Terrell speaking about the documentary, The War on Children. We'll have more on the documentary and a new project she's working on coming up. So stay tuned. This show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com.
Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, The New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World, for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.
Welcome back to Educate. This is Liz Collin. And again, this week, so blessed to be joined by Rebecca Terrell. She's a senior editor and regular contributor for The New American Magazine. We're covering a lot of ground, currently talking about the new documentary, The War on Children. I wanted to mention that the documentary features interviews with notable voices who have spoken out on the sexualization of our children, the threat posed to young people by this radical gender ideology. Riley Gaines, I know, is in the documentary, the founder and creator of Libs of TikTok, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. He's also a familiar face people will recognize. But I think you're right. It's very powerful. I think a break is a very good thing to recommend. But it's all there. It's all there in black and white and frankly, in color at this point as well. But what is your thought about all of that, Rebecca, that there seems to be, you know, if you believe in this, that this is happening, you know, we use that conspiracy theorist term, but I just can't believe that people can look at this and say it's actually not happening. You even have this, you know, drag queen, I guess, who's in the film saying, you know, we're not doing this in front of kids. Here's a bunch of video of kids being at all these events. Where is this coming from?
I don't know if you remember when the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir, I believe that that's what they're called, back in 20 or 21, released a song that someone of them had written and they all put on together called We're Coming After Your Children. We're coming for your children. And the lyrics of it are absolutely horrific. They are absolutely, they admit fully and make fun of the fact that we're coming for your children, we're going to get them, and then we're going to use them to convert you. This is all-out war declared in black and white terms. Some of these books that are available to children, and that's the thing, it's not just books in a school library. This is actual curriculum. Every single subject, you will find math problems that talk about Billy and his boyfriend Paul. And this is in school books. The school board, parents will bring these materials before school boards, and they will be silenced. Their microphones are cut off because you're not allowed to read this obscene material in the school board meeting. But many states have laws on their books that protect teachers and educators in the school setting from any, that's called defense to prosecution, against obscenity laws and against pornography laws, because it has, quote, educational merit. And these books they do not mask things. They have pictures, they have cartoon pictures of actual sex acts going on. They describe various sex acts, and there's nothing wrong with this. And it's all through state and federal programs, such as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a program called Whole School, Whole Community, Whole Child. that calls for all of the sexual perversion to be taught, complete comprehensive sex ed. It's called CSE, comprehensive sex ed. And that means it covers all subject, all school curricula, all subject matter has this embedded in it. Just like they do with climate change. They do the same thing with climate change. And many states are now implementing that children have to achieve certain, what is it, an environmental literacy before they can graduate from school. And before long, they're going to have this, well, we know already we have all this diabolical disorientation when it comes to gender fluidity. I question my gender. When has that ever happened before? That's never happened before.
Yeah,
in the history of ever.
You're right, though. We're beyond the point of it's so in your face. It seems to be lurking around every corner. So to me, it just seems wild that people can't accept that. And I think this documentary really gets at the, you know, what's driving this and the point of all of it with these powerful voices. Again, continuing the conversation with Rebecca Terrell, senior editor and regular contributor for The New American Magazine. I know you spent quite a bit of time looking in to a lot of this curriculum. And I think it's quite telling, too. You have Elon Musk, I know, who promoted the film's trailer on X that received millions of views. Do you get the sense that more people are waking up to this, you know, and explain that, the kind of difference, you know, even a simple tweet or whatever the term is for this now, you know, can right. make in this sort of cultural war we seem to be in?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an ill wind that blows no good. And I'm not glad that COVID happened, but that's the one thing that came out of COVID that is good, is that people are waking up and they're realizing, uh-oh, we're in trouble. I mean, we have good people being thrown in prison by a weaponized DOJ. That's the way they're handling our generations, you know, the Generation X and back, because we're not going to be retrained. They're focusing on children now and retraining them. Like I was saying before we went to break, how they're basically making little Manchurian candidates all over the place where they'll be totally ineffective. They will much more easily become the slaves that the elitists want them to be, right? Another thing that's being used, we have to watch all these psyops after Uvalde. They passed, the federal Congress passed the Safer Communities Act. And the first portion of that has nothing to do with gun control, which you would expect, of course. And that's section two of the bill. The first part of the bill has to do with implementing school-based health clinics, where they're going to team with Planned Parenthood to offer reproductive care, which you know what that means. This is, we have to realize they are emasculating our children. They are wiping out a whole generation that is going to make the next generation possible. That's what they're doing here. The aim of all of this, all of these elitist agenda that are being foisted on us, the aim is always depopulation, depopulation, depopulation.
And I always think of when go ahead, Rebecca.
I was going to say, when the message is humans are the problem, like it is with climate change and all of this, you know where that comes from. That's diabolic.
Yeah. And I always think of this saying, I know we've talked about just the overall theme of this too, but the only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. And again, that seems to be the case. Again, as we talk to Rebecca Terrell this week on Educate, senior editor and regular contributor for The New American Magazine. I'm wondering how the documentary is doing. Of course, it does have its own Wikipedia page, which is bashing the documentary. So then I take that as it's doing well. I know, it does cost something, I should say, to watch the documentary, but it is easy to find. People can check it out on Rumble. The message seems to be out there for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I point people to The Mind Polluter, so that if you want to take a deep dive into the man who made this possible, Alfred Kinsey, sex maniac, a pervert, a pedophile, funded by the CIA and the Rockefeller Foundation, Kinsey Institute, funded by our federal government, your tax dollars at work. We need to be very aware of what's going on. And The Mind Polluters is yet another documentary that's out there for those wanting to learn more.
Appreciate that suggestion. Well, Rebecca, I do want to take a break. We actually have something fun to talk about. I think this is great. I knew you wore many hats. I didn't know you were actually an author of children's books and an illustrator as well. So we're going to talk about this latest project, a new Dr. Seuss spoof, I guess. You know, we had to cancel Dr. Seuss. That's the world we live in these days. But again, more with Rebecca Terrell, senior editor and regular contributor for the New American Magazine, switching gears to her new children's book coming up. You're listening to Educate with Liz Collin. This show is brought to you by The New American. For more, visit thenewamerican.com. The New American Magazine powers the Educate Show, featuring in-depth articles and news analysis, culture, and politics. The New American can arrive on your doorstep bi-weekly in a beautifully published physical copy or digitally on their new mobile app. Bring yourself up to speed with intelligent coverage from a constitutional perspective. Now, for a limited time, visit thenewamerican.com/educate25 and receive 25% off. Subscribe today at thenewamerican.com/educate25.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Go to jbs.org and join us in restoring this great nation.
Welcome back to Educate. This is Liz Collin, covering a lot of different topics this week with my guest, Rebecca Terrell. She's a regular contributor for the New American Magazine, senior editor over there as well. Always so informed and always has something going on. I think this woman never sleeps from what I've gathered. But you recently published a book, kind of a spoof on one of the canceled Dr. Seuss books. Give us a bit of the backstory behind all of this and where the heck you found the time to go about this.
Well, I tell you what, it happened when they said that they were going to cancel four Dr. Seuss books for racism in the books. And I thought, you know, part of me went cha-ching, you know, that's a good marketing tactic on the part of Seuss Enterprises. But at the same time, come on, it's nothing sacred, really. So I just started kind of mulling it around. I thought, I'm going to write some spoofs on Dr. Seuss. And actually, the book that I've published, which is called And to Think That I Saw It on K Street Northwest, it looks like a children's book. It's obviously a spoof on And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, but which is one of the canceled books. But it's not aimed at children. The context of it, adults are going to get, children won't get, but the illustrations certainly look like they're for children.
Kids don't understand the thoroughfare in DC, the center for lobbying, K Street.
Yes. There you go. K Street and how K Street kind of runs the show is the power behind the throne in Washington, D.C. And then I also poke fun at the liberal media, who, of course, cover for them and make everything sound great. So it's a story of a little bunny rabbit who goes to Washington, D.C., to K Street to see what he thinks is going to be this wonderful, beautiful place. And he discovers the truth behind it, and he ends up getting thrown in jail.
You gave away the ending. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure how it ended.
There you go. So I need to send you a copy.
Well, gosh, I think if we weren't laughing, we'd be crying, because that is incredible how that seems to be reality nowadays. Rebecca Terrell talking about her latest project, this spoof, Dr. Seuss spoof. And I should say written and illustrated by Dr. Susie.
Yes, that's my pen name.
Yeah, I was going to say someone you clearly know well.
That's right. Exactly. I've actually got my next one is going to be Harris Hears a Hoot, talking about making fun of a certain Harris that we know who always laughs inappropriately. So that's a spoof on Horton Hears a Who, of course.
I think that's great. And you're comfortable saying a hyena is the main character? Is that?
Yes. Yes. Okay. The main character is a hyena. I don't have any resemblance to known persons is okay. Entirely rational.
we got it. And talk about that a little bit, how you seem to stay so sane in this insane world, especially all these different topics you seem to be tackling every day. Rebecca Terrell, a regular contributor for the New American Magazine. I'm a big fan of your work there. But you do seem to keep a bit of a sense of humor in all of this.
Well, you have to do that. You also, I don't know if you do this too, but you have to limit your screen time and you have to maximize the time that you spend on your knees in prayer, which is what I do every day. I would have to credit that for any sanity that I do have. Of course, some of my friends might say that I haven't accomplished the keeping sanity.
Yeah. I also find that maybe, I'm not sure if you find this, but sometimes the things we find funny, people are looking at you like, what is wrong with you? But I think it may just be a coping mechanism at this point.
Exactly. Well, you know, it really is. We have to realize if we are going to call ourselves followers of our Lord, we have to realize he was maligned. He was lied about. He was illegally tried. He was thrown in prison illegally, illegitimately, and he was ultimately murdered. Illegitimately, illegally. And he prayed for the people who were doing that to him as they were nailing his hands and feet to the cross. So we have to imitate him, but he would never shied from calling a spade a spade. He said, "You brood of vipers," to the very people who he knew were after his jugular. So, you know, it's that kind of, just trust God and keep the powder dry.
Yeah, well said. And I don't like to do too much selfish promotion on the show, but I did want you to weigh in, if you're willing, after you watched The Fall of Minneapolis, production, the documentary that I put out in November, being able to produce that. But I think it goes hand in hand with, obviously, you know, the mission of the New American, of the John Birch Society, you know, coming at this as a corporate reporter for so long and just really being... I guess amazed is a nice word, but kind of aghast at so many people that allowed this to all happen in Minneapolis and these lies to spread. But you can go ahead. You can give me an honest feedback when it comes to the documentary.
My honest feedback is bravo. It's stellar. Absolutely essential. I am spreading this around to everyone I know. Everyone must watch your documentary. And I'm not saying that just to ingratiate myself to you. It is... I had followed, and I pray every day for Derek Chauvin, who I believe was absolutely lied about and should not be in prison. He was unjustly imprisoned. He did his job, and I if I were a policeman too, I probably would have quit as well as many of the people who you interview in that documentary. I did know that about the lies told about him, but you uncover so much more. That's just the tip of the iceberg. What happened in Minneapolis, how the cops had their hands tied in defending the city and ultimately had to run for their lives during the riots. And at the same time, the rioters, of course, we don't have time to go into this, but then look at the hypocrisy and how the J6ers were treated. You walked into the Capitol and most did nothing more than take some pictures and walk out.
I always use that statistic. Rebecca, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for the feedback. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but thank you for the positive review.
Well, we talked about it. We talked about it before we started recording. I brought it up. I that was truly, I just can't praise it highly enough.
Well, that stat, though, is so troubling. You had in all 17 federal charges that were waged essentially for the damage done in Minneapolis. So you can imagine that 17 people. The longest prison sentence was about 4 years for arson, dealing directly with the Third Precinct surrender. But then you have to, you know, contrast that with what we've seen for the January 6th prisoners. And it's... To me, that is just so clear, the difference.
Absolutely. It is diabolic. And I do, you know, I'm in correspondence with a couple of J6ers who are incarcerated close to me. And they're stellar people. They really are. They're normal. They might live right next door to you, and they are in prison right now. And their spirit is just astounding, that they really under their grace under torture is so very just mind numbing.
No, it is. And I hope you'll continue to follow their stories. We've done a few through Alpha News as well, but they seem to be kind of this forgotten population and everything that's been allowed to happen since. I just don't know how we're going to look back fondly on this time in our history and what we tell our kids about, again, what I think so many of us allowed to happen. But again, Rebecca Terrell, senior editor and regular contributor for The New American, thank you so much. We'll stay tuned. What's the next story we can look for? Not to put you on the spot, but I guess to put you on the spot.
Right. No, that's absolutely fine. We're going to be, Bill Jasper, senior editor of The New American Magazine, and I are working on a cover story called Is the Pope Catholic?
Oh.
It's going to be pretty interesting because he and I are both Catholic. So.
Wow. Well, yeah, you guys like to make waves. This is one of the reasons I love your work. And be sure to check out your new Dr. Seuss spoof book. But where can people find that?
That Amazon.com and other online venues for books. And to think that I saw it on K Street Northwest.
Okay. Hopefully people will look that up. I got a chuckle for sure. Well, thanks again, Rebecca. I hope you have a great week. Appreciate you being on Educate.
Thank you, Liz.
Always great to chat with Rebecca Terrell, always working on something, several things, I should say, all at one time. Again, check out her work on The New American Magazine, where she is senior editor and a regular contributor. Thanks again for tuning in to Educate this week. This has been Liz Collin. Look forward to our ongoing conversations and providing criticism, but positive solutions to problems each and every week here on Educate. Self-reliance. It's not a phrase we hear much in our culture these days. It might conjure up images of pioneers, the West, rifles, strapping men, and strong women. But what does it mean for us in today's world? Is it even relevant? The New American Magazine has just released its latest collector's edition, Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. In it, the New American authors outline the necessity of self-reliance for a free people, tips for self-reliant living, and the importance of not giving up hope. This unique edition includes articles on the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearms, financial self-reliance, the importance of community, and many other topics by expert writers. Now, for a limited time, The New American is offering a bundle of three collector's editions, Self-Reliance, The Great Reset, and Trump World for just $19.95. A great stocking stuffer, available at shopjbs.org. Visit shopjbs.org today.